And now, Ben Bailey.
If we're going to be right with God, how we desperately need to consult Him about the proper order. It doesn't matter what you think, in all honesty, in all kindness. And it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what society feels, what makes people feel good, what makes people think they're drawing closer to God. Is there any word from the Lord? Jeremiah 37 and verse 17. And so we must never change God's truth and God's teaching. I want you to open your Bible, if you would, to some passages with me that teach us about some areas that are being changed. One of the changes that is occurring is concerning worship. Would you open your Bible to Matthew 15? One of the areas that change agents are specifically trying to move in on deals with worship. Matthew chapter 15. I want you to look at what Jesus said beginning in verse 7. Jesus spoke to the hypocrites in His day, and He said, "Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, say, these people draw near to Me with their mouth, honor Me with their lips, but their heart is far from Me. Why? In vain they worship Me, teaching as doctrine," what? "The commandments of men." Friend, when we start to promote, and when we start to do what society wants us to do, what people makes people feel good, we've moved away from pleasing God to pleasing ourselves. Two of the biggest community church movements are the one Saddleback Community Church and one where Joel Osteen is in the Astrodome in Houston. And here's what both of these, in essence, did. The community church movement sent out a 5-question poll to everybody in the community. What do you want? What are you looking for? Why have you not been going to church? What would you like to see done differently? And they took those 5 questions that everybody sent back in, and that's what they do. That's what they teach. That is exactly what they believe. It is all about catering to people. Friend, we've lost the whole image of what this is about. This is not about making me happy and making you happy. We're here to worship and honor God in the way that makes Him happy. What does God want us to do, and what does God expect of us? And so one of the areas that change is occurring is concerning music in the church. Open your Bible to Ephesians 5 and verse 19. Ephesians chapter 5. What does the Bible say about bringing in mechanical instruments of music? Is that something that is acceptable to God? It's one of the forefront, on the forefront of the movement of change. But what does God say about it? Friends, it's this simple tonight. I want you to look in Ephesians chapter 5 in verse 19. The Scripture says concerning music, Christians are to be speaking to one another. That's reciprocal. I speak, you speak, we all speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and here's the key, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, if you would, turn back to Colossians chapter 3, and I want you to notice what the Scripture also says in verse 16. Colossians chapter 3, I want you to look with me in verse 16. We've noticed that as it relates to music, we are to sing and make melody in our heart. Now notice what Paul instructed the church in Colossae to do. Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Here it is, singing with grace in your heart unto the Lord. Friends, God has specifically, explicitly told us what to do as it relates to music. God has told us to sing. Singing excludes playing, beating, banging, tapping, whatever it may be. When God said sing, eliminated everything else. When God said make melody in your heart, that eliminates all other forms of melody. And so we don't operate on the basis of, well, God didn't say not to. Do you think Nadab and Abihu's excuse was, well, God, you didn't tell us not to offer that other fire? Can't find where He told them not to. What did God tell them? God told them exactly what to do. And God has told us exactly what to do. And we must never change these issues. Another area that change is occurring is concerning the unique and distinct nature of the Lord's church. Open your Bible to Matthew chapter 16. And I want you to look with me beginning in verse 13. Matthew chapter 16. I want to invite you to look in verse 13. Jesus here addresses the nature of the church. As Peter responds in verse 16, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you, you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Whose church is it? Friends, it's not a community church. And it's not a church after me or a church after you. It's Jesus' church. It's the church of the Lord. Acts 20, verse 28. It is the church of God. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 1 through 3. It is the church of Christ. Romans 16, verse 16. And so someone says, "Well, what's in a name?" Friend, the name is everything because that's the authority that we do it by, and it's the one we honor. If it's a community church, what's that honor? We must honor the community. But you don't find that in Scripture. And so as we think about the name, Jesus specifically tells us it's His church. Now, how many churches are there? A lot of people today are promoting the idea of the ecumenical idea that we just kind of get along and that it's just kind of, religion is just kind of like a buffet. You can pick and choose and they're all the same bunch, just different roads to get there. Was that what the Bible teaches? How many churches did Jesus build in Matthew 16 verse 18? Look again now. Jesus said, "On these rocks I'll build my churches." No, it's not what He said. "On this rock I'll build my church." Singular. There are many members, yet but one body. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 20. The body is the church, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. And Paul specifically says, there is one body. There's only one church. I cannot, as much as I want people to go to heaven, and as much as you want people to go to heaven. Friend, I can't change the method. I can't change the place of safety. The Lord is coming back to receive those who are in His kingdom, 1 Corinthians 15, 24. If the kingdom is the church, then it is essential to salvation. Well, another area of change has to deal with the role of women. Many places are promoting women preachers, women serving as deacons, women even serving as elders, women passing the communion plates during communion. What does the Bible say about the role of women? Is that authorized? Well, let's see. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2, and I want you to look at what Paul said. This, like the issue of instrumental music, is a very simple issue if we're willing to go to the Scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at the simplicity of God's Word in verses 11 and 12. This is especially as it relates to women having a role of authority and even in the idea of teaching. 1 Timothy 2, verses 11 and 12. "Let a woman learn in silence with all submission," watch this, "and I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence." What's God's role? How does God expect a woman to take her role in the church and in the home? Well, God has placed the husband as the head of the home. God has placed men as leaders in the church, and women are not to have authority over them. Someone says, you know, Paul was a sexist, and he just didn't understand the women's lib movement. You know, if you look in 1 Timothy 2, verses 14 through 15, Paul doesn't relate it to society. Paul relates it to creation. This is God's roles from creation. God placed man as head, woman in submission. Man is to be the leader and be out in the front, taking the brunt of the things and doing the work that God has set before him. Now again, this doesn't mean women aren't important in the church. Listen carefully. If it weren't for faithful women in the church, where would the Lord's church be today? I attended a small congregation, and the core group of that congregation were faithful women who loved the Lord, supported the cause of Christ, and could be depended on to be there every time and encourage and do the work God has set for them. But that doesn't give authority to change what God teaches on these matters. And so as we think about change, we today can counter the winds of change by getting back to being good students of the Bible. Study to show yourself approved unto God. 2 Timothy 2 verse 15. Be ready to give an answer. 1 Peter 3 verse 15. I think sometimes this change occurs because nobody ever rises up and says anything about it. Friends, I've got to have the fortitude of faith. I've got to have enough knowledge of the Word of God, enough courage to say, wait a minute, this is not right. Here's what the Bible says, and we can't allow change to occur. And that's our responsibility in the matter. We must never stop teaching the truth of God's Word. We've got to preach the truth in love. Ephesians 4 verse 15, it's the only way men and women are going to be saved, and oh, how we need to pray and ask God for wisdom and help in times like these. And so can we do something about change agents? You bet. Don't associate with them, number one. Proverbs 24, verse 21. Don't let them influence you. Let God and His Word direct you. Don't follow them into error. You check it for yourself. Here's the major problem. People sometimes, it's as Jesus said, the blind lead the blind. They both fall into the ditch. Instead of letting somebody lead me in a direction, let's ask God, what does the Scripture say on this? What should I do as it relates to this issue? And then let's each have the courage to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints. Are you a child of God? Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? You know, as it relates to change, to become a Christian, there are changes that must be made in my life and in yours. The Bible teaches that we've got to believe Jesus is the Son of God, John 8:24. I've got to be willing to change my way of thinking and change my way of acting. I've got to repent and turn from an ungodly lifestyle, Acts 3 verse 19. I must confess before men that Jesus is the Son of God and Savior of the world, Acts 8, 37. And I must be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus made it so plain when He said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved,